They shoot the white girl first. With the rest, they can take their time. No need to hurry out here. They're 17 miles from a town which has 90 miles between it and any other. Hiding places will be plentiful in the convent. But there's time, and the day has just begun. They are 9, over twice the number of the women they are obliged to stampede or kill. And they have the paraphernalia for either requirement. Rope, a palm leaf cross, handcuffs, mace, and sunglasses, along with clean, handsome guns. They have never been this deep in the convent. Some of them have parked Chevrolets near its porch to pick up a string of peppers, or have gone into the kitchen for a gallon of barbecue sauce. But only a few have seen the halls, the chapel, the schoolroom, the bedrooms. Now they all will. And at last, they will see the cellar and expose its filth to the light that is soon to scour the Oklahoma sky. Meantime, they are startled by the clothes they are wearing, suddenly aware of being ill-dressed. For at the dawn of a July day, how could they have guessed the cold that is inside this place? Their t-shirts, work shirts, and dashikis soak up cold like fever. Those who have worn work shoes are unnerved by the thunder of their steps on marble floors. Those in prokeds by the silence. Then there is the grandeur. Only the two who are wearing ties seem to belong here, and one by one each is reminded that before it was a convent, this house was an embezzler's folly. A mansion where bisque and rose-toned marble floors segue into teak ones. Isinglass holds yesterday's light and patterns walls that were stripped and whitewashed 50 years ago. The ornate bathroom fixtures, which sicken the nuns, were replaced with good, plain spigots. But the princely tubs and sinks, which could not be inexpensively removed, remain coolly corrupt. The embezzler's joy that could be demolished was, particularly in the dining room, which the nuns converted to a schoolroom, where stilled Arapaho girls once sat and learned to forget. The chill intensifies as the men spread deeper into the mansion, taking their time, looking, listening, alert to the female malice that hides here and the yeast and butter smell of rising dough. The leading man turns and gestures the separations. You two over there to the kitchen, two more upstairs, two others into the chapel. He saves himself, his brother, and the youngest one for the cellar. They part gracefully without words or haste. Earlier, when they blew open the convent door, the nature of their mission made them giddy. But the target, after all, is detritus, throwaway people that sometimes blow back into the room after being swept out the door. So the venom is manageable now. Shooting the first woman, the white one, has clarified it like butter, the pure oil of hatred on top, its hardness stabilized below. Outside, the mist is waist high. It will turn silver soon and make grass rainbows low enough for children's play before the sun burns it off, exposing acres of blue stem and maybe witch tracks as well. The kitchen is bigger than the house in which either man was born. The ceiling, barn rafter high. The table is 14 feet long, if an inch, and it's easy to tell that the women they are hunting have been taken by surprise. At one end, a full pitcher of milk stands near 4 bowls of shredded wheat. At the other end, vegetable chopping has been interrupted. Scallion, piled like a handful of green confetti nestles, brilliant disks of carrot, and the potatoes, peeled and whole, are bone white, wet and crisp. Stock simmers on the stove.